We live in a turbulent time, and one of America's foremost presidential historians has written a new book about how past American presidents have led through difficult times. Here and Now's Robin Young has this story from Concord, Massachusetts.
We came to Concord, once home to Thoreau and Louisa May Alcott, to visit our old friend, historian Doris Kearns Goodwin.
Oh, thank you so much for doing this.
Are you kidding? Thank you.
No.
So good to see you. How you doing?
All right.
Probably just all right. Richard Goodwin, her husband of 42 years, father of their children, and advisor and speechwriter to both JFK and LBJ, died in May at 86. Their sprawling home on a rural road is filled with his big life.
Let me just show you these pictures. This is Dick escorting Jackie to a state dinner.
Look how young!
I know. Isn't this a great picture? Yeah. And then this is the best one. He's getting the pen for having the We Shall Overcome speech, which is what he worked on. And this is the pen that signed the Voting Rights Act.
And some have called that one of the greatest speeches ever written and somewhat overlooked in the pantheon just because it was Lyndon Johnson who wasn't known as a speech giver.
No, the most important thing about a speech does it mobilize people to action. And the great thing it did was by using the phrase, we shall overcome, it meant that he was connecting to the civil rights movement. And when you have the person in power and this movement coming from the outside in, then that's when you really get something.
And Martin Luther King cried when he heard it.
Yeah. It's an amazing speech. I mean, it starts out, you know, every now and then history and fate meet at a certain place at a certain time. So it was at Lexington and Concord. So it was in Appomattox. So it was in Selma, Alabama.
There, long-suffering men and women peacefully protested the denial of their rights as Americans. Many were brutally assaulted. One good man, a man of God, was killed.
I mean, it's incredible. And he had only that day to write the speech. I couldn't do it if my life depended on it.
I don't know.
No, there's no way, honest to God. It's great stuff here.
You've written the book about four men, but there's a fifth.
No question.
The other four men in Doris's life, the four presidents she's written about for years and gathers now in her new book, Leadership in Turbulent Times, which looks at how Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Lyndon Baines Johnson handled those times. Like all of her writing, this is well-researched. We make our way through walls lined with books. We'll have pictures at herenow.org. We go through the nonfiction library to the fiction library.
How much do you love books?
I couldn't move from this house because of the books. What would I ever do with all these books? You know, it's a big part. It's our decoration, you know, instead of art or objects, books are everything.
We go through more halls lined with books. Three presidents have their own rooms.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt's upstairs. Franklin is actually here.
And finally, we sit down to talk about presidents and leadership. So the book is Leadership in Turbulent Times. By that, you mean, of course, there's a civil war for Lincoln, a Vietnam War for Johnson. But you've said you mean for these turbulent times. What's the one thing that all four of these men went through that maybe, I'm trying to think, what's the connection or the lack of connection that the current president has?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the most important qualities in a leader is the ability to be self-reflective, to acknowledge your errors, to learn from your mistakes, to grow as a leader. And all four of these men had extraordinary experience in public life, and they were able to have humility, which means they accepted their limitations.
Well, they all had, it seems most of them had, even severe depression at certain points when they had failure.
In fact, leadership studies have shown that people who go through adversity and come out the other side stronger than they were before they went in, it gives them a foundation. Like, for example, FDR said, you know, when people said, how can you deal with all these pressures that you're under as president? And he laughed, but I think he meant it. He said, if you spend 2 years, because of his paralysis, trying to move your big toe, then somehow it's not going to seem so bad, whatever you're going through. And he learned humility. He became a different person through the polio. He had always been charming. He was always a naturally gregarious person. But having had to spend 4 years just trying to walk again, when he first got the polio, he couldn't even his back and his chest wasn't even strong, so he would ask to be lifted from his wheelchair to crawl on the floor of his library to strengthen his back, and then he tried to tackle stairs, going up one stair at a time, crawling to the top. And the important thing is that when he got to the top, they'd have celebrations.
So a humility, but what about those who compare Donald Trump to Teddy Roosevelt, who Teddy had this, you know, bluster and boisterousness and out of my way, I'm going to, you know, ride a horse to the top of San Juan Hill. By the way, I just want to take a second on that because you paint a more sympathetic portrait of him than I've seen, let's say, from Stephen Kinzer, who wrote the True Flag book. And he paints a Teddy Roosevelt who's kind of a foolish guy as a young man, wants to play at war, wants to ride a horse. And it's only after McKinley is assassinated and he goes from vice president to president that he achieves a maturity. Your take on him with the Rough Riders in Cuba is more admiring.
Well, I think he proved himself with the Rough Riders when he was with them to be a leader. I mean, he figured out how to mobilize them, to give them the courage and the camaraderie and the morale. So whether or not it's a good thing to want to be in a war, which I think sometimes he did, just to show his mettle. Maybe that's because he was an asthmatic kid and he used to read all these books about explorers and courageous people and he wanted to be them when he couldn't. But there always is something about Teddy. I mean, as daughter Alice said, that he so wanted to be in the center of attention that he wanted to be the baby at the baptism, the bride at the wedding, and the corpse at the funeral. So there is that likeliness to, or similarity perhaps, to President Trump.
Well, and President Trump's base has said, you know, we met so many of Trump's voters who have said that this is what they want in him. They don't care if he is crude or is bombastic. They don't even seem to care about the truth. And you write a lot about how Lincoln, you know, if it's not my word, then, you know, it doesn't count. Has something happened where that may not matter? It used to matter a lot.
You know, if words don't matter and if the truth doesn't matter, I think then that is a worrisome thing about our democracy. I mean, in general, what I'd like to believe that these four stories show, that these men lived in far more turbulent times than ours, obviously. You have Lincoln coming in when there's going to be a civil war, 600,000 people are going to die. Teddy Roosevelt's, at the height of the Industrial Revolution, things were more shaken up than they are today. In fact, there's a similarity with, I think, what made Trump win the election, because at Teddy's time, there was a big gap between the rich and the poor that had arisen. People in the rural areas felt cut off from the big cities. Immigrants were coming in from abroad. People felt it wasn't the same America that they had known. And luckily in that case, Theodore Roosevelt understood those feelings, and he would take train trips around the country, both to the states he lost and to the states he won, so that he could mobilize a unified spirit for the country. And I think, you know, when you asked earlier about what did they have in common, I think their political experience, which was broad for most of them, taught them empathy. Lincoln may have been born with empathy, being able to understand other people's feelings and feel them. But each one of them learned that through their experiences. I mean, Teddy said when he first started off in public life that he wasn't conscious of going into politics to help other people. He just thought it would be an adventure to go into it. But then once he got into those tenements, once he was police commissioner,
he was taken to see these tenements where these workers lived in just these horrific conditions.
And when he saw that, he was against the bill originally to regulate them. He thought it was private enterprise. If you owned a house, you could do whatever you wanted in it, even if it was putting these workers in from immigrants' places and have 10 kids in the same place. But he saw it and something happened inside. And that's what you hope for people, not only in public life, but all of us, that our experiences teach us something about how other people feel and think, and then you can act on that understanding.
Lyndon Johnson saw the children in the school where he was a principal. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, this young man of privilege, brought himself to communities he never would have been able to go into. But again, Trump supporters would say he's the one who's understanding what it's like to have a relative killed by an undocumented immigrant.
Yes, he has somehow been able to make a lot of people who are in his base feel he is on their side. And because of coming into power as he did at a time when a large section of people felt that the political system was broken, and he promised that he would somehow fix it, and they believed that promise. I mean, I don't know how long that will last. You know, I don't know how what happens when the promises that he made, although he he does go after those promises. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to say the, you know, whether it's the wall or whatever, but
or the courts.
Yeah.
I just want to close because I can't stop thinking about your husband. Did you ever talk about, you know, what he might have written for a speech for one of the four men in your book, how he would have liked to have written for them?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I mean, even in these last years, as he was working on his own book about America, it was really about his love affair with the idea of America. Mm-hmm. That's what, in a way, was his foundation. And it was all my guys' foundation. I do call them my guys mm-hmm. sometimes because I feel familiar with them, having lived with them mm-hmm. so many years. And there's a connection between all of them that they were all somehow connected to the founding ideals of the country. You know, whether that's equality or freedom or liberty, they really felt that sense.
Doris, thank you.
Thank you very much, as always.
Doris Kearns Goodwin speaking with Robin Young. Goodwin's book, Leadership in Turbulent Times, is out today. To read an excerpt, go to hereandnow.org.